You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Thanks, homies, for streaming today's Bet Slippin' Podcast. It's our 2022 NBA playoff preview. So what we're going to talk about today is the upcoming NBA play-in games, which wrap up Friday. We got the Atlanta Hawks visiting the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the New Orleans Pelicans playing the Los Angeles Clippers. Then my co-host Nate Dogg and I will go through each series matchup conference by conference, start off with the Eastern Conference, work our way over to the Western Conference, give our picks for the conference winners, our NBA Finals winner, and the Finals MVP winner. And then, of course, we'll wrap it all up with our final segment we call Going to the Window, which has our best bets. But before I bring in Nate Dogg, let me shout out the odds provider and sponsor of this podcast, the great Tipico Sportsbook. They're a global sports betting leader that's now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. Users from this podcast can get a special welcome bonus at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older to game. Please see Tipico's website for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Please remember to gamble responsibly. All right, Nate Dogg, let's talk about the play-in games, which you did much better in than I did, I believe. How did the play-in games go for you for the first?
So I did two unders. I did the Spurs under 227, Nets under 227. The Nets were there was a ton of late game fouling in that. It looked easy money, and then all of a sudden, I think it was Rondo or Garland could have ended it. Could have hit the over with a three with seconds remaining wide open. It was beautiful to see that hit. So those two hit. I hit Nets under, Spurs under, and then I still have Hawks at plus 240 to make the playoffs. I told you guys, whether you took Hawks or Hornets, the value down there to beat the Cavs and make the playoffs, I don't think Jared Allen's playing. It is outstanding value. So I'm happy with how the play-in tournament went. I think these last two games are also absolute thrillers, so I'm excited for them.
Yeah, I'm excited about these games as well. I'm very curious to see what the Cavaliers do. I don't know. I like the Clippers, I think, to cover or to win, but the Pelicans to cover.
That's my play.
I don't have an official play in either one of the play-in games, actually. I'm so nervous about just betting against Cleveland because I do not like the Hawks. But they've cost me a lot of money, so it would appear as though I am just wrong about the Hawks. But like they're getting, according to pregame, like 97% of the cash. And even if you're not using pregame, I think like everyone can kind of close their eyes and picture just about everyone being on the Atlanta Hawks, given
it's
how
just
they
Trae Young, no Allen. It's an easy play, but
yeah, I mean he's
once you see how bad the Hawks are on the road, you're gonna be like, eh. Maybe I shouldn't go with the Hawks.
Yeah, it's like they're a completely different team at home compared to on the road. But like Trae Young has just balled up the Cleveland Cavaliers this year. I think he's only played against Darius Garland once or twice in those matchups. But either way, I mean, their backcourt defense really isn't that strong in the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Atlanta Hawks,
you want to kind of get into the lines before we dive into this one or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the playing games now, but I guess the official line, this is the playing games are Friday, April 15th. We're recording Thursday, April 14th. Again, we're going to go through the first round playoff series and we'll give our ultimate picks to win the conference and the finals. But just looking ahead at the playing games right now, first one, Atlanta Hawks tips off with the Cleveland Cavaliers at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Hawks are 2.5-point favorites. Over under sitting at 223.5. I lean to the under, and I lean to the Cavaliers mostly because of my anti Trae Young and Atlanta bias. As far as the side goes, as far as the total, it's just like Cleveland has played so many unders this year. The Atlanta Hawks play a really they like to slow down the pace, and I'm pretty sure Cleveland's gonna not try to speed up the pace. So I could see there being fewer possessions, which typically means unders, but I don't have an official play on that. Are you hitting the Hawks or the Cavalier game?
So it's not going to be like a go to the window vibe, but I'm actually leaning towards the over 223. If you look at three of the four times these two teams have played, it has popped off. So they've topped two. So the total set at 223.5. And the three of the four times these two teams have played, they've went over 235. The other time would have went under this total, but the three of the four, they've just crushed it. The Hawks rank 8th in pace over their last 15 games, 7th in offensive rating, and the Cavs at 24th in defensive rating. I mean, they were once the best defense, or at least a top three defense in the NBA. They've just struggled since Allen's not being there. And also the Hawks at 14th in offensive rebounding rate, and the Cavs are 18th in defensive rebounding rate. While I don't trust Atlanta on the road, I do think you can back Atlanta by also going with the over, because if Atlanta covers, the over should hit in this game. So I would rather play a side that might be able to get lucky and hit even if Atlanta doesn't cover. So I like the over here. I think the just what we've seen from both teams this season and how Atlanta's played lately, that it's the better play.
Yeah, they're 10-7 to the over as a road favorite, but Cleveland as a home underdog is pulling it up now, 8-7 to the over as well, the plus 2.9 total margin. So maybe you're onto something there. I think the absence of Allen hurts Cleveland's offense almost as much as its defense, if not pretty much the same. So I don't know. It's hard to like kind of get any handicapping factors out of his absence. I kind of cut you off there. What were you saying?
I was just going to go with Allen as well. It's like you can't put a value point on him. He's almost, I think this is a little far of a stretch, but he's almost the most important single player to a team's success in the NBA. It's close. I mean, look at all the MVP candidates, Ja, Curry, Embiid. They even have Harden. I mean, if Allen goes away, this team doesn't even make the play-in tournament.
No. Yeah. I mean, their record without like Allen is... Do you have it?
Like 7-15 or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, he was an all-star for a reason, and it wasn't just his numbers. It was his overall impact of the game, and it's just like the thing that I cannot ignore. I actually, if Allen played, I think it would be a pick 'em. Like, I don't think it would be like Cleveland -3 or anything like that. I do think the momentum of Atlanta, their big game experience, their playoff run last year, all kind of makes them expensive in this place or in the spot. And it's just like moving forward into my playoff like handicaps, I'm going to be doing a daily NBA podcast for the postseason. I might be looking more at betting splits and factoring that more heavier into my handicaps, because during the regular season, the market doesn't matter as much in the NBA, right? I mean, there's less money in there. Yeah, the money matters in the playoffs, obviously, or there's more bets, there's more action with these sports books in the playoffs. So, you know, when you see a betting split like the Atlanta Hawks getting 86% of the tickets, 97% of the cash, the odds makers are going to be rooting for the Cavaliers. They are that is 100% going to happen. So, you know, that's the side you want to be on. And like, I don't, as much as I pride myself on learning these matchups and figuring out like which team can exploit which weakness and vice versa, I don't know more than the market or the odds maker. So I do kind of have to defer to them at certain times, you know? So moving forward, if I was like to analyze like some of my mistakes in the play-in round, at least a couple games that I bet and both missed on, which was the Los Angeles Clippers against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Hornets against the Hawks, both of which were public sides. So I, you know, right when those games tipped off, I felt like an idiot actually. You know, the Clippers had me pretty pumped going into the fourth quarter, but they ended up peeing down their leg and the house won. And same thing with the Hornets yesterday. Well, not the same thing in terms of game how the game played out, but the Hornets were a public dog going into that game, so the house had slightly more liability on them. But I don't have an official play on this. Again, I want to get on the same side of the house, but just like the Atlanta Hawks have cost me too much money. I don't know. What am I? How much dumber can I look? You know, it's starting to hurt my ego, to be honest.
Trae Young is just brutal. There's no one worse than Trae Young to hurt your ego. Makes you feel bad.
Yeah, because it's just like death by a thousand paper cuts. Like with this guy shooting free throws to murder you, it's just like it's terrible to watch.
And the hairline, it's all tough.
Yeah, it sucks losing money to that guy. It really does. I don't know. Sometimes I see him. It's like, how can he be good at basketball? All right, let's go to the next game, which is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Clippers. I think the Clippers win. I had so much liability, still do with the Clippers. I have them plus 5,000 to win the Western Conference, and then I got them more at plus 2,600 to win the Western Conference. Two good tickets, but I was really, really kind of banking on them beating the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first play-in game and then getting the Memphis Grizzlies, which is obviously a far easier matchup for them than the Phoenix Suns. But here we are against the Pelicans, and it's kind of shocking if you look at their recent head-to-head history. The New Orleans Pelicans won five straight against the Clippers before they lost to them April 3rd. They've covered, I think, six straight. So I think they're going to keep this game close. And if I'm being honest, like I like the Pelicans roster even more than I like the Clipper roster. Like
which is saying something coming from you.
You haven't known me this long, but I've always been a huge Brandon Ingram fan, like huge Brandon Ingram fan. I think he's an elite scorer and has the possibility of averaging in the upper 20s. You know, if they give him the keys of the offense. Now, maybe it's not the most efficient way to run a team. So they brought in CJ McCollum at the trade deadline. He's been sick for them. Killed it against the Spurs last night. I mean, Valanciunas is a better big than Zubac, right? I don't think CJ McCollum is definitely a better guard or a better backcourt player than Reggie Jackson. And New Orleans has like length, size, depth. They're not going to be a fun team to play against the Clippers. But I go back to the same thing, you know, I said about the Timberwolves and Clippers matchup. And the one thing that had me concerned, it's like I would hammer the Clippers. I would ask for a loan to bet the Clippers in a 7-game series. One game, I don't know. I don't know if that gives Ty Lue enough time to adjust. So we saw him late to adjust to D'Angelo Russell cooking them the other night. They put Terrence Mann on him the fourth quarter, and Terrence Mann did a really good job. I think he would stick Terrence Mann on D'Angelo Russell and reduce his effectiveness in a 7-game series. But we don't have that chance, or we didn't have that chance the other night. We don't have that chance here. So the value is for the Pelicans plus 4. I'm going to write it up for Sportsbook Wire. I'm probably going to end up betting it, but it's more of a lean if I'm being honest, because I do think the Clippers, you know, they're going to have the best player with Paul George on the floor. They have a better coach, you would think. You know, Willie Green's in his first year. So how are you getting down on this game, if at all?
So you basically said everything that I wanted to say. I think I'm just going to add to what you said in the sense of Paul George is going to be the best player on the court. We all know that. But who's the next four best players? The next three best players are probably McCollum, Ingram, and Valanciunas. I just can't get behind, like, trusting Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris. They can still win the game. And I think you're onto something brilliant here. I think they're going to win the game. And they're at home. They play better at home. But I can't take them to win by more than four. Especially because I'm sure they'll be betting favorites. And I think the Pelicans, their isolation scores are elite. I mean, they're good. They rebound fourth highest offensive rebounding rate in the league. Whereas, as we mentioned on Tuesday's podcast, the Clippers, that's one of their defensive, not one of their strengths. It's a weakness for them.
So, Marcus Morris had zero rebounds. I am so mad at Marcus Morris.
Yeah, I saw you tweet, and how can someone that tall just not grab one board?
Yeah, dude, that's like, that's something when I see it that pisses me off in basketball when a big doesn't rebound. It's like, dude,
and the whole hand slapping thing with Patrick, like you hated on Patrick for being emotional for Beverly before the game, and then Marcus Morse was the one that got a stupid double tech.
No. But I wasn't listening to the volume. I was at the bar for that game, but like, I thought that was Morris being an idiot, but the Clippers ended up getting a technical foul shot out of that. So whatever happened, I think Beverly made a mistake. And like, to go back on that game, like, a lot of it played out like we said. Like, the Timberwolves were emotional, right? Like, Pat Beverly got into foul trouble early. Karl Anthony Towns got into foul trouble super early, and they shut him down.
But we also said, hey, they have guys that can take over. Like, yeah. You can't stop Anthony Edwards from shooting the ball.
Yeah,
he's just jumped higher than you, and he's just more athletic, and that's what happened. And that's kind of what scares me about the Pelicans, is you can't stop Brandon Ingram. You can't stop CJ McCollum. You just hope they miss, and I'd rather bank on Reggie Jackson missing than CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I would expect to see a lot of Terrence Mann in this game on CJ McCollum, but I mean, they have depth at the wing, Pelicans, to kind of throw at Paul George with Herb Jones. Yeah. and
Herb Jones is awesome.
Brandon Ingram's actually like an average to an above average defender. Like, he at least competes on defense and is going to be out there and use his length. So I do think the Clippers advance. I do actually think if they advance, they would give the Suns a decent series. I have more faith in them giving a tougher series than New Orleans, but I just don't see any value in betting this game, if I'm being honest. So I should probably move on, right? Going to the Eastern Conference. Well, we don't know the one versus eight matchup. Even though it's the Miami Heat is the first seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're playing the winner of the Atlanta Hawks in the Cleveland Cavaliers series. Miami is down 1-2 versus Cleveland this season, but the Cleveland team that beat them was both games was in December, much healthier team. And they're 3-1 straight up and against the spread. The Heat are against the Atlanta Hawks. They had obviously much rather play the Cavs, given the Cavs' injury issues and lack of playoff experience. But they do have a better record against the Hawks. Do you have anything looking ahead to this matchup, or are we just breezing past this one? Because there is no matchup to look at. We're just guessing.
I mean, personally, I think Miami's kind of a vulnerable team. But yeah, there's nothing. They're solid all around, and whoever they play isn't. I mean, I would actually rather see them play the Cavs, because Jared Allen's going to return for that series, I would think. So
that's true.
He's on the brink of return, so just not quite there yet. I'd rather see them see the Cavs, but no, I only have a couple on a couple series. Some of these first rounders just aren't going to be worth my time.
Yeah, I think the Cavaliers could pose a tougher matchup with Jared Allen in there than Atlanta, because Miami's one real weakness is ball security. They turn the ball over a lot. Atlanta doesn't force any turnovers. They're not really going to exploit that, right? Whereas, like, Miami's offense can just knife through Atlanta's weak-ass defense. And I know Miami's really, really good against bad defenses, and Atlanta's really, really bad against good defenses, and Miami's a good defense. So I wouldn't play the series handicap, which is how many games the Heat would win by. I'm certainly not going to lay heavy juice to bet him against the Hawks or the Cavs. I would prefer to see the Cavs. It'll probably be the Hawks, but the Heat would advance in my on my bracket either way. Next series, which we'll probably spend the next 45 minutes discussing, the Philadelphia 76ers, the 4 seed. Playing the 5 seed Toronto Raptors. Right now the series prices are the 76ers are favored -180. I said right now, I actually pulled them yesterday. The Toronto Raptors are +150 to win this series. I mean, Nate, you know how I feel. Most of the listeners actually who've been following along with the Daily NBA podcast know how I feel. I'm very long on Toronto. I am the fucking... Excuse me. I've been on Toronto's side for a long, long time. Probably since I started the Bet Slipping podcast, way before all these other schnooks and media got on them. Who are you taking, and why?
So I'm actually going interesting here. I was looking at Tipico's odds, and I was like, how can we make this fun? I'm going Sixers Raptors correct score after 4 games, 2-2. +140. I don't care how the series ends. I don't think a team's going to get a 3-1 lead. I think that's my point. And it's definitely not going to be a sweep. the reasons are kind of obvious. The Sixers have star power. They can go off. They have arguably the MVP. But then on the other side of the boat, you have the Raptors have the seventh highest defensive field goal rate within 6 feet. And the Sixers shoot the 10th most two-point field goals. They have the length. Boucher, Siakam, all those players, they have incredible length. They have incredible depth. They have incredible, like, they're good at each position, but they don't necessarily have the star power. So I think the Sixers will be able to get by two of the first four. I think the Raptors are just going to, they're just going to hammer them over and over again. What are they, number one or number two in offensive rebounding rate?
Yep, top three.
Yeah, and then I understand the Sixers have Embiid, but how well is he going to hold up if these games are up and down the court? I mean, I've watched them play, and they just play half court through Embiid. That's why I love Seth Curry on that team, and I thought that was a mistake to give him up. So I'm going to take this Raptors Sixers 2-2 plus 140 after four games.
Interesting.
It's happened once in the last 4 years. Crazy enough, two of the last four Eastern Conference 4-5 matchups were sweeps.
That is kind of interesting, actually.
Well, it's a little crazy to me. It was like the Heat did it to the Pacers 1 year, and then I forget the other one.
I think what's interesting is this is the only game on the betting splits that has reverse line movement. Most of the money, most of the action is coming in on Philly, but the line is moving away from them. I think it opened at Philly 5.5. Hold on, I'll pull it up right now, actually. It opened at Philly, the 76ers, favored 5, and it's down to 4, despite them getting 90% of the cash. So this, I am a little frustrated because everyone's like moving into my turf, jumping on my bandwagon. I've been huge in the Toronto Raptors, and I've told friends, and I thought I told you that I was like, I saw this a month ago. I was like, I hope the Raptors can get in the 5 spot and play the 76ers because they will 100% beat them in the first round. I have this as one of my best bets. I already bet it. I bet it at like plus 180 when it first came out. So shop around for the best number if you're not in New Jersey or Colorado. But I just like the Toronto's edge in fast break basketball is huge, and Philly's suspect defensive rebounding is huge. I'm specifically looking at the fast break basketball. So people have been confused. I've heard a few podcasts talking about how the Toronto Raptors have a slow pace, right? And Philly's weakness is in their transition defense, but they're kind of missing it. Toronto has a bottom 10 pace, but they get out into transition at a top 5 frequency. Like they look to force turnovers. They have a high defensive turnover rate. And off of live rebounds will push the pace, right? Off of makes, they'll slow it down and get in a half-court basketball. So they're third in points per game, a fast-break points per game scored, Toronto is. Fourth in fast-break points added per 100 possessions. Philly, 28th in fast-break points per game allowed and 27th in fast-break points per 100 added per 100 possessions. Again, Toronto does offensive rebound like crazy, and the Philadelphia 76ers, really outside of Embiid, don't have that many good rebounders. Also, Thybulle, their best wing defender, won't be there for any of the Toronto games because he's unvaccinated.
Why I like my 2-2. That's why the 2-2 strong.
Yep. And Pascal Siakam is at this point probably the most underrated player in the NBA this season. Like, he has just been phenomenal. He's playing this year the way Toronto needed him to play last year. So he's been, I think he's behind Embiid, the second best player on the court. I think Harden's trend line really has me concerned. I would rather have Van Vliet than him at this point. Which I'm assuming most people would disagree with, but I think something everyone would agree with is Nick Nurse is a far better coach than Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is just itching to blow the series. He wants
it. One of the most overrated coaches. He's going to blow it, and then he's going to blame it on Harden.
I mean, and you know what? The best part about game one for me is that I literally don't care what happens. I have the Toronto Raptors to win the series. If they lose, I'm going to bet the Toronto Raptors adjusted series price. I actually hope that they lose because I'm going to bet it again at plus 300 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it really, like, if they
the
win.
First two games, it's not, honestly, if they go down 2-0, if it's still plus 500, go for it.
Yeah.
Like that.
I will bet them as long as they're. I mean, if they're down 3-0, I'll be like, all right, well, whoops.
Plus 2,000, got it.
I mean, I could throw 50 bones at that one for sure. The other thing is, and this is part of the Nick Nurse versus Doc Rivers like handicapping angle. Joel Embiid struggles versus Toronto. Toronto has length and they play aggressive on-ball defense that frustrates Embiid. Embiid likes to handle the ball and dribble through traffic. And against Toronto's length, that's going to be a problem. Against Nick Nurse's defensive schemes, that's going to be a problem. Embiid, over his career versus Nick Nurse's Toronto Raptors, just since Nick Nurse got there in 2018, he's averaging 21.5 points per game. His career average is 26 points per game. 51% true shooting, career 60% true shooting. Minus 1.4 box plus minus. For his career, plus 5.9. So he struggles against Toronto. And if Embiid struggles at all, if you're not getting essentially MVP level Embiid, Philly's getting bounced. They're getting bounced in the first round. And again, regardless of what happens in the first game, I will be betting Toronto. Well, actually, if Toronto loses the first game, I'll be betting Toronto in just a series.
You know what's funny about your love for the Raptors is that my brother lives in Philly. Huge Sixers fan, and I told him if they get past the first round, I'll fly up and we'll go to a Sixers game.
Nice. I mean,
so it looks like I might not have that expense if the Raptors pull through.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be going to Philly. But hey, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. I've whiffed in a couple first round series in the past couple years, so, and then I've had to make it back in the next round. So hopefully it doesn't happen like that. But judging by the play-in, coming in here limping a little bit. But I got Toronto Raptors plus 150 to win this series. You'll be hearing that again in the going to the window segment. Do you have anything else in the series?
No, I just like the 2-2. I think it's super even. I think it goes 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think it does go 6 or 7. All right, next series. Not much here, but Milwaukee Bucks, the 3 seed, did a little playoff gymnastics, seeding gymnastics at the end of the regular season, maybe on purpose, maybe just to rest some guys, but they ended up getting 6 seed Chicago Bulls, who are trending way down coming into the playoffs. Bulls are getting plus 650. You gotta lay 12 minus 1200 with the Bucks if you're gonna take them to win this series. I don't see any value in any one of those numbers. I think the Tipico is giving a series handicap, so the Bucks have to win by 2.5 games is minus 170, and I'm not laying minus 170 on that, just because if Chicago can pull its head out of its ass, play less iso ball, have more ball movement, Milwaukee Bucks do struggle in 3-point defense, so I could see Chicago stealing one or two of them, as crazy as that sounds, as unlikely as it sounds. It's a lame 3-versus-6 matchup. Milwaukee's crushed Chicago in 3 of the 4 factors in their meetings this year. I mean, Chicago likes to play through its 2 all-star wings, DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. Milwaukee's better, obviously, with Giannis and Chris Middleton. And just the bottom line for me with Chicago, and really what's going to be the reason that they're going to be exited in the first round, is they're just too small. You know, an underrated feature of a good team, of a title contending team, is having backup bigs and having depth at the center, the rebounding slots. So that's Chicago's ultimate Achilles heel, I guess, and I don't see them. I could see the series. I've heard that, you've probably heard this a million times, I could see it being ended in 4 or 5 games, but I don't have any action on it. How do you feel about this one?
I will say, I was talking about this with my cousin, and he put $50 on a sweep, and I was like, man, I'm about to just tell you to bet that through me and you'll just, I'll give you 120 if they sweep it. I don't think it's a sweep. I think it's 5. I think this the Bulls showed enough this season. They're good enough to get one at home. And honestly, if they don't get one at home, one game at home, I honestly would say you need to blow it up. I don't know. There's no excuse to have this team have 3 or 4 all-stars and not get one. So I'm thinking they get one. I don't think more than one. I wouldn't be willing to bet 4-1, 4-2, 4-0. I wouldn't be willing to bet anything on this series, Bryce.
But the blow it up, like, Lonzo Ball's injury certainly hurts. You know, Alex Caruso's missed a bunch of time. Nikola Vucevic, I do think, is overrated and mostly sucks. I'm with you there. And DeMar DeRozan is going to end up getting dunked on, figuratively and literally, in the first round here. And it's going to be like, oh, another DeMar DeRozan first round exit. And part of that is because he actually isn't as good as his numbers indicate. But, I mean, I still think you got to kind of run it back if you can with this team. Try to get some more depth at center and just hope Lonzo Ball stays healthy. But
yeah, I just feel like if you can't get one game, you're just going to live in Chicago Bulls playoff purgatory for forever. But I mean, a lot of teams are there. It's hard to actually contend. So
yeah,
can't hate them for it.
Yeah. It's a terrible matchup. Like, honestly, it's just like the worst matchup they could have gotten.
Like if they could have even got the Heat.
Yeah. Like they would much rather be the 8 seed, like much rather than that. Yeah, it's a terrible matchup. I can't make an argument for the Bulls really winning more than one game, if I'm being honest. But to your earlier point and also kind of my earlier point, the Milwaukee's 3-point defense is suspect enough where Chicago can steal one. So, all right, the fourth and final series in the Eastern Conference, Boston Celtics. The host team, 2 seed against the 7 seed Brooklyn Nets, who need to beat the Cavaliers to make it to this point. Celtics are -140 to win the series, +110 for the Brooklyn Nets, according to Tipico. And Boston will be without Robert Williams III. For me, that's a big enough injury to matter. I'll get ahead of all of this. This is a pick. This isn't a bet. I think the Nets win the NBA Finals, so they're going to be my team to advance here and advance through. I'm not going to bet it because Brooklyn Nets are honestly a team that I've struggled with. I've showed them maybe too much support, and they've just kind of burned me with their failures against the spread as a favorite. And I've made a lot of money on Boston this year. I liked the way they played defense before the start of the new year when they really turned it on, and I made some money off of them early and often. So I like Boston here, and I look at Boston, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee as the three Eastern Conference teams with a legitimate chance to beat the Phoenix Suns, and I would actually consider them all a favorite over the Suns. That's kind of how little I think of the Suns. I mean, saying that, they're still the best team in the West, in my opinion. So, but
besides Warriors.
All right. Is that foreshadowing?
It's a preview.
Nice. I can't wait to hear that.
Big Warriors guy.
Boston's 3-1 straight up and against the spread versus Brooklyn this season. Brooklyn slaughtered Boston last year in the playoffs, beat them 4-1 straight up and covered in their 4 wins in the first round. KD's the best player in the series. Kyrie Irving lights Marcus Smart's ass up. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, when they're on the floor together, the Nets got a +13.2 points per 100 possession differential. That's in the 98th percentile five-man lineup. So these guys are sensational when they're both on the floor. We're going to see 40 minutes of each of them, right? You'd think. Yeah. So
easily.
And 40, I think
42, 44 minutes of each of them. It's going to be insane.
Like, we haven't seen it this year. But, like, I actually, like, Brooklyn's supporting cast, I think, is better than Boston's. Like, they haven't.
See, I think we disagree there. Did we watch the same play-in game? Because Bruce Brown can't shoot a three, and I think that's going to hurt them. They're going to have 2 of their 5 players going to be absolutely non-threats from deep, and that's something I can't get behind.
So, Bruce Brown, and this is the thing, and it surfaces in the playoffs more than anything. Bruce Brown couldn't hit a three in Cleveland, right? In Brooklyn, he might knock down a couple threes, and what do we need out of him, really? Or what do the Nets need out of him? Two threes, right? Two. If he hits three, they're probably winning that game. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's like garbage time stuff.
I agree, but at the same time, I know you're not banking on it, but I'm not putting my trust in Bruce Brown.
I'm putting my trust in Kevin Durant, actually. That's who I'm putting my trust in. And, I mean, outside of injury, I think he's the best player in the world. And, you know, he's played well against Boston, obviously. And, like, the whole point about the supporting cast, like, Seth Curry hasn't looked very good versus Brooklyn, and maybe it just doesn't come around for him this year, but he's lit up Boston this year, shooting 55% from the field, 56% from three, and he's played them in five games this year because he's, you know, he flip-flopped teams midway through the year. I gotta roll with KD here. Like, best player on the floor, best player on the planet, in my opinion. I like the Boston thing, but they do have a rookie head coach. I mean, granted, it's not like Steve Nash has a lot of experience, but I think KD and Kyrie will make up for that ultimately and figure out a way to get past the Boston Celtics. It's not going to be an official pick or official bet, but it is an official pick.
Yeah, so I was just kind of running through the odds for this series. I'm not going to take too much time here, but I kind of like the Celtics to lead through three games 2-1 at plus 115. Yeah, you have Irving there, but you're going to have Derek White, who's a pretty good defender, and Smart both there. If they want to put Jaylen Brown there, they can. And then you'll have Tatum as well. And it's more – so the Celtics had the ninth-ranked offense. The Nets were 10th. Obviously, the Nets had so many issues throughout the season, and now they're actually kind of rounding into form. But the Celtics had the best-ranked defense in the league, and they also did pretty good at rebounding. I mean, they weren't great at rebounding, but it's not like the Nets attacked at last very hard. I just have a hard time watching what I watched against Cleveland and thinking they could take down one of the better teams in the league. I guess that's more a wait and see, because you're right. Durant is probably the best player on the planet when he's healthy, which he is. It's just, I think I'm going to take the team that's got the best defense in the NBA, especially to win the first couple at home.
Yeah, my last point, which is actually one of my first points, were I think these are two of the top four teams, five teams in the NBA, and the absence of Robert Williams III is enough to like kind of split the difference for me.
I think he's sensational, and I think it's I think it's definitely a difference maker.
Yeah. So, again, it's an official pick, but not an official bet. On to the Western Conference. Phoenix Suns will host the winner of the Clippers Pelicans series or play-in game. Again, I have Clippers plus 5,000 to win the West, plus 2,600. As well. I got them twice. And my theory was that if they can sneak into the playoffs, get Memphis in the first round, maybe Kawhi Leonard comes back in the second round in time to play Phoenix, or if he could even come back in the middle of the first round. I don't even know really if they get past the Pelicans. I'm not that confident that they do, to be honest. And I'm not confident Kawhi Leonard comes back in this series. For what it's worth, LA is 2-2 straight up and against the spread versus Phoenix this year, and Paul George has only played in one of those games. Suns are 3-1 straight up and against the spread versus the New Orleans Pelicans this year, and New Orleans' only win was when Phoenix was missing Chris Paul. So the Clippers match up much better with the Suns in a seven-game series. They have that experience, that toughness, but I can't say confidently they'll even get there. And I definitely can't be confident about their chances because the Phoenix Suns are sick. They're the favorite for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton on this game. I didn't handicap it much. The Suns are going to win the series. I mean, I just think it will be funner if we get the Clippers.
Yeah. It could go like shit. It probably should have won seven last year. So, you know, it could be a fun, chippy six-game series next round if it's the Clippers.
I think the West is way deeper and way better, but a lot of these series I don't think will be fun because we're about to move on to Jazz Mavericks, and I couldn't find a single line I like. You don't know if Doncic is going to play. The Jazz have kind of sucked for a lot of the season, but you know their players are good. So, I mean, you can break down the start of that, but I also don't have a play in Mavericks Jazz. I think the unknown is just a little too great.
Interesting. I do have a play in the Mavericks Jazz.
You like Mavericks because it's like plus 300 right now?
Is it plus 300? I thought it was... Oh,
I don't know. I thought it was plus something sick because the Doncic news was like he could miss the first two games. And if they lose both those at home, they go down 3-1, and then it's just a tough situation.
So right now, I'm pulling up on Tipico. The Mavericks to win the series are plus 250. The Jazz are minus 310. My official best bet were the Dallas Mavericks plus 1.5 series handicap. Plus 125.
I just looked at that and was like, that is a beautiful bet.
Yeah, so I'm gonna sprinkle on them plus 250 to win the series, and I'm going to take them plus 1.5 series handicap. And foreshadowing to the upcoming first round opening weekend podcast preview, I'm gonna take the the Mavericks plus the points in game one against the Utah Jazz. I mean, if you're a listener of this podcast, the NBA episodes, you'll know that I'm a Utah Jazz truther. I think they're frauds, and I think they're broken at this point. Everyone expects Donovan or Rudy Gobert to be moved, maybe one or the other. They should move on from Donovan Mitchell because he's overrated. He's got a minus 1.1 adjusted on-off net rating this year. Gobert's got a plus 6.3. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is a shot creator, and people fall in love with that shit, but he doesn't really equal wins and losses. He's got a lot of hollow points, and the Mavs have done a good job defending him this year. He's gotten 24 points per game in the four games versus the Mavs, but it's on high volume, 40% field goal percentage, and he's got a minus 12 net rating. Jazz frauds, like I said, they're 33-45 and 4 against the number this year. Against winning teams, they're 9-23-2 against the spread. Dallas is 24-14. Now Luka Doncic currently is injured. We're not sure the status of his calf and when he'll return. I saw something that suggested he would be back for game 3 in Utah. That would be huge. If I knew that, the price probably, if anyone knew that, the price probably wouldn't be what it is. But I would be much more happy about taking Dallas. If I can even just, if there's any chance I'm coming back for game 3, I love this series price. I mean, he averaged 30, 11, and 8 on 46%, 44, and 80 shooting at a plus 9 rating against Utah this year. He lit their asses up. And Utah just can't stay in front of ball handlers. I think Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie are going to get to the rack against Utah. And, I mean, most of it is just based on my theory that the Utah Jazz aren't a legitimate playoff team. Or they're a legitimate playoff team. They're not a legitimate title contender. And them being favored 300 against Dallas, who's played really good even when Luka Doncic has been off the floor. It's very similar to the Ja Morant Grizzlies splits. I like the Mavericks. I'm going to sprinkle on them to win the series at plus 250, but I'll take the plus 125 at plus 1.5 games.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have anything on that, but I like it.
All right, cool. Next series, you actually hinted at liking one of the teams to make the finals.
Let me unpack. Let me sit up in my chair for this.
All right, so I'll set the table before you start eating. Golden State Warriors are 250 series, have a minus 250 series price. So they host the Denver Nuggets, who are sitting there at plus 200. Denver was 3-1 straight up, but 2-2 against the spread versus Golden State this year. Draymond didn't play in any one of those games, though. And Denver is only 3-9 against the number in the last 12 versus Golden State. Nate, what do you got on this one?
So I'm taking Golden State at plus 400 to take the West, plus 751 title, and I'm taking them minus 1.5. So it's minus 1.5, minus 105 on, I guess you call that the series line. So it's looking more and more optimistic, like two-time MVP Stephen Curry is going to play. Curry, he's shooting career lows from, I believe, from the field and from three. But that, he'll bounce back from that. We've seen what Curry's made of. And then at the other time, you have Klay Thompson, who's heating up. You have Jordan Poole, who has averaged like 26 points per game over the past month. And then you have Golden State. If you look at this team, when they played together for the first few months, they had historic defensive rating, and they were that good. I mean, they beat the Suns. They beat the Nets in Brooklyn. They've been some of the best teams in the league. And I just don't think Denver's there yet. I think Denver with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. give the Nuggets far more options. It's just when you have Draymond Green, when you have Looney, who's a pretty solid defender. Now, albeit Golden State is low on some size, but who else does Denver really have to go through? Aaron Gordon is too inconsistent for me. I'm not a huge Will Barton guy. I think those guys are just too inconsistent to trust on for Jokic in the playoffs, especially a defense that was among the best in history earlier in the season. Also, the Warriors have the number 2 effective defensive field goal rate. And that's kind of what, when you look at Denver, that's something they do great. Jokic gets you open. They have the number 1 effective field goal rate. Well, the Warriors counter that almost perfectly. And then if you look on the flip, on just another point, you have Golden State, who forces the 7th most turnovers, or at the 7th highest turnover rate. And then you have the Nuggets, who rank 26th in turnover rate. I think that just playing your play through one guy, and then you have a superstar, just defense over there. I think that's going to be hard for Jokic to consistently find the open guy and to consistently just go through him and win the game. I think the weapons for the Warriors are as good as anyone else has in the league. Their camaraderie, their how they've played the last, not few years, but how they've played together, the big three. I think there's just too much there. And when they were all healthy earlier in the season, they were incredible. So I'll take them here. I'll take them on the series line to win it 4-2 or even 4-1.
Nice. Well, we're opposite here. I already bet the Denver Nuggets to win the series. My official best bet will be the Nuggets plus 1.5 series handicap. It's minus 135 on Tipico, but I am going to sprinkle on them to win the series at plus 200. A lot of it is just like a fade against the Warriors. Like everyone is penciling in or penning in them being as good or being like championship caliber Warriors, and we just haven't seen enough of Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry on the court together this year, you know, for me to be convinced that that's the situation. Obviously, there's a good chance I look stupid in this one. I mean, I'm taking plus 200. It's not that stupid, but
yeah, that's a fine. The series bet for Denver is why I didn't want to bet the Warriors series. It's a series price. It's a great price point for Denver for the whole series,
right? Because I mean, I love Curry, and he's a better all-time player, but Nikola Jokic is the best player on the floor. Like, he is. And I do think he's going – you disagree?
That's just tough. I like Jokic. I do, but I don't think he – I've watched Denver a lot this year. When Curry's hot, he's the best player. I mean, he hasn't been as hot as he has in previous seasons. He's not playing at an MVP level, but I'm also kind of team Embiid MVP, which I'm sure you're not on.
No way. I think Denver is a legitimate threat to every team, not Phoenix. Like, the reason Phoenix crushed Denver last year and would crush Denver again this year is because DeAndre Ayton could effectively offset Nikola Jokic's production. Like, if DeAndre Ayton could get 17 to 20 points and 10 rebounds again like he did last year against Jokic, they have no chance, Denver. And they can't play pick and roll defense against Chris Paul, so they're going to get knifed through. But like the Warriors don't really attack the same way as the Suns, obviously. And the I think Jokic is just going to tear through that front court. I mean, his numbers this year were sick against the Warriors, but again, they were missing Draymond Green, so that is part of the reason why he did play so great versus the Warriors earlier this year. Steph Curry had shooting troubles midway through this year. And since Klay returned January 9th, Golden State's been more or less a mediocre team. They're 24-20 straight up, plus 2.6 net rating, minus 1.3 ATS differential versus top 10 teams, which Denver falls into that group. They're 6-10 straight up with a minus 5.5 net rating, minus 3.9 ATS differential versus top 10 offenses. Another group Denver falls into. They're 6-11 straight up, minus 7 adjusted net rating, minus 6.7 adjusted or ATS differential. These numbers can be taken with a grain of salt, of course, because Draymond Green has been missing games. Klay Thompson has been in and out of the lineup with like load or injury management, and Steph Curry has missed a whole bunch of time. And when his March numbers before he got injured were off the hook, Steph Curry really started turning it on. But I do think the benches actually cancel each other out. I know that might be shocking to some people to hear, but I think Bones Highland is honestly about as good as Jordan Poole. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, is going to absolutely mop Bilicic or whatever, however the hell you say that guy's name. And like, whatever, Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers, Gary Payton Jr., and Damian Lee, there's no difference there. It looks like you're trying to say something, but you're muted. Go ahead.
We got to take back that Jordan Poole slander. He's averaging like 26 a game over the past month.
Bones Highland's been balling over the past month. I hear you. I know everyone likes Jordan Poole, and I had him as one of my favorites to win Most Improved Player this year and Sixth Man of the Year. I like Jordan Poole, but I also like Bones Highland. The point is, like, yeah. I think, like, Bones Highland, Forbes, and Rivers effectively cancel out Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, in my opinion. That's more what I meant. And I think
it's a fair point. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think, and it's hard because the Warriors have had so many issues this season that you don't know what you're going to get. You could get a finals caliber team, which at the plus 750 isn't bad, or you could get a first round exit. So you're right. It is risky. That's why I would much rather play a series line than -240. And -240 is unplayable for sure. But if this is the team that everyone thinks it is, the Nuggets without their second and third best score, it's definitely reasonable to think they could go 4-2 or 4-1.
And I mean, it has not been confirmed Steph Curry is playing in game one. It hasn't.
Optimism, but not confirmed. And you don't know at what level, even if he does play. I mean, that's a sprained foot.
And literally, he could be hobbled. And
it's not like it was broken ribs or freaking Jared Allen's pinky or whatever. It's like that's an injury where if he's playing, he could only be 80%.
Sure. And that's an injury, as you know, as a basketball player, you think about forever. Rolling your ankle, getting rolled up on, stuff like that. That affects your movements.
And it's at least when I've sprained my ankle, unless you're playing at 100%, it's far more likely to do it again.
Right.
And if he sprains his foot again, you win.
I mean,
you win your bet.
Right. And that's,
lose and you win.
I mean, we've seen this in recent years, with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, he came back a little early, tore his Achilles, missed the next year, and he did it for a title. But it's
Cousins
like
did the same thing, came back, tore squat.
Yeah. And it's like you go from sitting on the couch, rehabbing, whatever, to playing playoff intensity. You could roll your ankle again or further exasperate your injury. And I think the price is too good and there's too many fair questions to ask of Golden State. That's kind of the point of my handicap and the foundation of it. And I do think Jokic is the MVP. We do disagree on that.
Yeah, it's fine. You're going to win that battle anyway.
Next series, the Memphis Grizzlies hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that I'm very, very mad at right now.
I don't have a play on this. I honestly might play a sweep. I think it could easily be a sweep. I mean, Patrick Beverley basically said they won the championship, and that's the only game they're going to win. I don't know what the sweep price is. I didn't even look it up, but this is the series that's a sweep. It's not the Bucks Bulls. It's this.
I'll set up the table if you want to look at that. But Memphis is -400 to win the series. Timberwolves is a 7th seed after beating the Clippers, are +280 to win the series. Memphis won, the season series 3-1. Covered only 2 of them though, but they are 16-5 against the number in the last 21 against Minnesota, which obviously predates Ja Morant. That's how long Memphis has owned Minnesota for. I'm with you in the fact or in the sense that I do think it's a quick series, just because these teams have pretty similar identities. Just Memphis has got better players and they're more efficient. That's really the difference maker. They have the best player on the floor in Ja Morant. Memphis.
Steven Adams is one of the most underrated players on the planet.
Perhaps, but he'll be exposed at some point in these playoffs, and that's why they'll
just not lose. Against the Wolves.
Probably not. I mean,
unless Cat's just crushing.
Karl Anthony Towns has played really well against Memphis this year, which is part of the reason why, I kind of like Memphis or Minnesota in Game One to at least cover the spread. But on paper, Memphis's front court defense should be too much for him. You got Steven Adams who could body him up in the paint and Jaren Jackson who will just smother him out in the perimeter and out in space, right? But hasn't really happened like that when they played this year. Karl Anthony Towns has played well and who's played very well for the Timberwolves against the Grizzlies this year and balled out in the playing game. Dude, D'Angelo Russell has gone nuts against Memphis this year. He's averaging 31 points per game on 71% true shooting, which breaks down to 56% from the field, 46% from three, 79% from the line. He's got a +22 net rating.
I went to college with his personal videographer.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, kind of cool. But yeah, I'm a big Russell fan. He just doesn't play defense, so.
I know.
But he's awesome. If he gets going, they could win too.
For sure. And I mean, Anthony Edwards, former number one overall pick, Karl Anthony Towns, former number one pick. So they have talent. And I love Jared Vanderbilt, like the coach. I like the makeup of the team. They just struggle in defensive rebounding. They struggle on half-court defense. Memphis has a huge, huge, huge edge in ball security, offensive rebounding, fast break basketball, and free throw differential. Again, we talked about this in the play-in game. Minnesota loves to send their opponents to the foul line. Absolutely loves it. So ultimately, I just don't see really any way the Timberwolves get this series past six games. I do like them to cover the spread in the first game. They might steal a couple here because these teams are somewhat evenly matched. Just again, Memphis is just much more efficient. So Memphis will win. I'm not going to lay minus 400 though. And I don't even think Tipico has like a series handicap on this one. You kind of alluded to it in the beginning though. You don't have much on the series, right, Nate?
Nope. I think Memphis, the Timberwolves are just a little too spontaneous for me to lay on either side. I love the Timberwolves. I like watching them play a lot. They have length. They play at pace. They have shot makers. It's just their defense sucks sometimes. And then when their shots aren't hidden, like any other team, it's just they miss more often sometimes. So I'll go Memphis, and I honestly don't hate sweep, but sweep's like plus 550 on Tipico. So
yeah.
Nothing further. Just not my most favorited series.
Gotcha. All right. Well, real quick, before we get on to our best bets, let's just kind of give our conference NBA Finals and Finals MVP picks. We kind of alluded to them earlier in the podcast or as we're recording. But for the East, I got the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not going to bet it. It's plus 320 right now in Tipico. Maybe you can get a better number in other states, but I like Brooklyn. Just to me, the East is a toss-up, and Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, or definitely.
Yeah, I don't really care. It's square, but I like the Bucks at plus 220.
Gotcha.
They have the best player, the experience, the shot making, closers, depth, size. They have everything you want, but that's also why they're only plus 220 to win the whole conference. So,
it's a pick, not a bet, right?
Yeah, definitely just a lean. These are all leans, I think, for the most part.
Gotcha. I have Phoenix. It's boring, but I unless the Clippers get back Kawhi Leonard tomorrow, I don't think anyone in the West can stand with the Phoenix Suns. So I'll
Hey, the Warriors beat the Suns earlier in the season, and I'm still rocking Warriors plus 400. I think they get by Denver. I think they have a tough path. Denver, Memphis, and Phoenix is almost insane, but I think they have one of the highest ceilings, and plus 400, I like them. The Suns are just too pricey, plus 110 to win a whole conference. But that's almost how I feel about the Bucks too.
I agree, and I just truly believe Phoenix is not as good as their record. Like I don't think it is. I actually think there are a few Eastern Conference teams that can knock them off as well, and I do think Brooklyn Nets will end up beating the Phoenix Suns. At least that's the pick that I'll give. Plus 700 to win the finals with KD winning the finals MVP at plus 750. Do you think the Warriors return to glory and upset the defending champions? Or do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, nice.
You already knew it was coming. Plus 750. I'll take the Warriors. I think their ceiling, I know there's been problems all season. They haven't been healthy. They haven't had Clay. He hasn't looked good. They haven't had – once Clay came back, they didn't have Draymond. Once Draymond got healthy, they didn't have Curry. Poole's played very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. But, man, you put it all together, they could have a special team on both ends of the court.
Absolutely. They were one of the best defenses in the league, and they have the Splash Brothers and Draymond.
So – they have everything that I like to see. Whether they put it together and consistently put it together is another question, but a plus 750, I'll take them over other teams.
I do think they need the Clippers or the Pelicans or someone else to knock off the Suns, because the one real weakness.
The Jazz could.
Fair enough.
I think the Jazz are just like a worse version of the Suns.
Yeah, I don't disagree. My thing, though, well, they can't defend the pick and roll, but whatever. Okay. I think that the Warriors don't match up well with the Suns, because the Warriors' big issue is ball security. And if you're going to turn the ball over a lot, that just means Chris Paul is going to control the pace, and he's going to own the pace. And that's it. And that's
I get it. I get it.
It's a real issue. But I mean, I like that you zagged. I'm not a believer that Phoenix, I think they're way overpriced. So I hear you. All right, well, let's go on to our final segment we call Going to the Window with our best bets.
Do it.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, so what's your best bets? Mostly the first round. I don't think either one of us have like full playoff futures willing to go with, but I have three best bets here for the first round. What do you got on your slip?
I have three best bets for the first round, and then I put Pelicans plus four.
Okay, cool. All right, what are your first round picks?
Yeah, I'll just give all mine. It probably will be easier. I got Pelicans plus four, Sixers Raptors correct score after four games to be 2-2 at plus 140, the Celtics to lead through 3-2-1 at plus 115, and then the Warriors series line minus 1.5, minus 105. Sorry, that was a bit confusing. Just re-listen to it. It makes sense.
Good work by you, buddy. All right. I'm going to take the Denver Nuggets plus 1.5 series handicap minus 135. So they got to take it to at least 6 or 7 or win against the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to sprinkle Denver Nuggets plus 200 to upset the Warriors in the first round. I'm hitting the Toronto Raptors plus 150, even though I'm very pissed off at how every Tom, Dick, and Jerry with a sports betting podcast is also picking that now. Plus 150 to beat the 76ers in the first round. I like the Raptors there. And I'm taking Dallas Mavericks plus 1.5 series handicap at plus 125. And I'll sprinkle on them to win the series as well. And I believe that's plus 250 right now. It is. So those are my three best bets. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow with the NBA opening weekend, first round playoff opening weekend preview. Me and Nate will be back here next week to talk about the NBA playoffs, or I don't know what other sporting events we can gamble on.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
It'll be a sports gambling potpourri for you guys. But best of luck to you guys on the baseball, golf, if you're betting it, and obviously the NBA playoffs this weekend. Do you have any final thoughts?
Nope. Let's send them off. Hopefully they win some money.
All right. Peace out, fellas. And ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. Peace.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.